Dave Barry just came out with a new book, Dave Barry Hits Below the Beltway, all about American history and politics. He visited us by phone last week to talk about it. Tell us about it, Dave.
Well, it's about birds, Laura. It's all about birds, 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 birds.
Yeah, I noticed that. You were talking.
Actually, I don't think there's any book I could write on any topic that you wouldn't decide was about birds. So I thought I would just skip over the ostensible topic of this book, which is the history of the federal government and politics in the United States, and go right to the birds.
You had said, we here in the United States have developed a sophisticated, highly complex governmental structure involving three major branches. Among other animal species, only woodpeckers have more.
Yeah.
That was a very insightful.
Thank you.
And then I was...
I hope you're not going to ask me now to describe the government structure of woodpeckers.
Only if you want to elaborate.
All I know is that if woodpeckers were trying to figure out how a political system should work, I'm sure they would do better than we did.
Well, they could poke all kinds of holes in a Florida ballot, that's for sure.
That's right. We wouldn't have that problem. The hanging chad would never be a problem in the woodpecker community.
That's absolutely true. You were also talking about an angry emu that chased a painting contractor's employee out of a backyard. That's apparently something that happens only in South Florida.
Yeah, no, that's true. I was writing in a chapter in the book about why one of the simple and obvious solutions to the problems we had in the last election would be to give Florida back to Spain, and assuming Spain would have it, which I doubt. But I was talking about how weird Florida is in many different ways, one of which is that there are many different exotic species running around or slithering around or flying around the state of Florida. It's not unusual at all for us to look in the newspaper and see a story about some family somewhere that's missing a 30-foot snake, you know, whose name is Bobette or something, and they're really worried about the snake.
Yeah, you.
And they say, well, she hasn't eaten in a couple of months, so we're concerned she might be hungry or whatever.
My son was reading the book out loud to my husband and me as we were bringing him back to college after Thanksgiving. And the car was in danger a few times because whoever was driving would be laughing too hard.
That's good to hear, unless there's an accident, in which case I'm hoping you're not going to sue me.
I wanted you to talk a little bit about your plan. This has nothing to do with birds, but I think it's a really cool plan to inject honesty into...
Yeah, I'm talking about how really incredibly awful and boring presidential campaigns, all political campaigns in this country, but really the worst presidential campaigns because neither candidate feels free to say anything true or funny or sharp or anything that hasn't been extensively focus group tested. So you get, when we have the so-called debates, these two programmed androids in suits making pretty much the same hand gestures and speaking in these bizarre little sound bites no matter what the question was. So I propose that we inject a little honesty into the presidential campaign, and I don't mean inject figuratively. I mean sodium pentothal, also known as truth serum. We would have federally appointed medical personnel whose job would be to keep a certain amount of that stuff flowing through the candidates' bloodstreams every time they were speaking in public so that they would be incapable of lying. And I'm picturing a scene in, like, Iowa, where in Iowa it's traditional for the presidential candidates, and, of course, at that point in the campaign in Iowa, there's about 20 usually of them, to pander to the Iowa corn farmers, who raise way more corn than we need and anybody could possibly use, and are always trying to think of something to do with it. And one of the ideas they've had over the years, and we've all heard about it, is ethanol, which is this automobile fuel that uses corn as its base. Of course, the corn farmers think it's wonderful, but it's never really been feasible for one reason or another. But it keeps coming up because in Iowa, the candidates always swear when they're there that probably the most important thing, is, including life itself, as far as they're concerned, is ethanol. And I'm thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if in Iowa, if the candidates were chemically incapable of lying, and some farmer gets up and asks the traditional question, like, well, what do you think about ethanol? What a wonderful moment it would be if the candidate would say, well, I'll tell you what you can do with your corn. Like, birds are corn eaters, aren't they?
Yeah, some of them are. But they also, they're incapable of not telling the truth.
So. I don't know. I've seen some birds. The mockingbird is an example to me of a bird that is not always honest.
Well,
I mean,
that
it's
is
a mockingbird,
true.
But sometimes it's pretending to be some other kind of bird.
Or
now, you
chainsaw.
Can't really say, are you going to defend that behavior?
You're right. It's to mislead females into thinking he's had firsthand experience with that chainsaw and that he's tackled that red-tailed hawk he's imitating. And you're right. That is a...
You're trying to say that the mockingbird is trying to impress females by suggesting to them that he's had sex with a chainsaw?
Well, apparently the reason they give that variety of songs, the males who do the most imitations are the ones who score.
And well, that's pretty much true of life in general.
Well,
I found.
They have the best lines because what they're doing is telling her all the experiences he's had in his life, you know. And
a gal goes for a guy who's had experience with a chainsaw,
yeah,
is what you're saying.
Apparently. Or whatever they can imitate.
Why wasn't this information made available to me, for example, when I was younger?
Well, you should have asked.
you're saying that mockingbirds are actually telling the truth there.
Well, they're saying all the sounds they've heard.
Okay, so
but
hearsay.
You don't know if they've heard it as, you know, live or Memorex.
No, they might have heard it from another mockingbird.
Yeah, that's one.
When guy mockingbirds get together, they'll exchange some sounds, I guess.
Speaking of which, one book I really, really wish you would write is Dave Barry's Guide to Nature, How and Why to Avoid It.
Okay.
And
all right, I'm on it.
Okay, we're waiting for that book. You know, the three best-selling books of all time, the three best-selling nonfiction books, one of them is the Bible, one is The Joy of Sex, and one is Peterson's Field Guide to the Birds.
Which is not that unrelated to...
Well, no, the birds and the bees and God.
Right.
You know, and you read about both in the Bible. So, yeah, that's a good opportunity for you to make.
Okay, well, thanks for that. I appreciate the tip.
You've already got so much of your research done. Oh, speaking of which, you were talking about the at least 3 billion mosquitoes in Florida, many with the wingspan of a mature osprey.
That's true. There's another bird reference.
Exactly.
In fact, I think that, seriously, I don't know if you've been to Florida, but we have mosquitoes that I don't really believe are insects. I believe they are members of the bird family.
Well, in Minnesota, many people consider the unofficial state bird to be the mosquito.
Yeah.
And so
that's kind of the downside of that 10,000 lakes thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's really 15,000 lakes, and they're all mosquito-infested, and that's why all these warblers come up from the neotropics in the summer. What they actually
the neotropics?
Yeah.
Like these are hip birds that in the old tropics aren't good enough for them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
But they come back here in the spring to, they're subsisting indirectly on human blood.
Ooh.
Well, you know, they do it via the mosquitoes.
By eating the mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Here's a question, and I know you're a bird and not a mosquito gal, but you seem to know so much about so many things. When mosquitoes are like out in the middle of a swamp in the middle of Minnesota or the middle of nowhere, not that those are such radically different concepts, and there's no people around, what do they eat?
Blood. They get a lot of bird blood, and that's why...
I mean, they get the birds?
Yeah, they bite birds, and that's
and
how...
And the birds can eat them.
Well, it depends on what kind of bird. Warblers don't really eat mosquitoes because
well, they should.
Eating. Yeah, and it's been
don't
one
Don't you
of...
think they should if they're being... I mean, if they're being bitten by the mosquitoes.
Oh,
I mean,
definitely. Yeah, it's only
if
fair.
Any warblers are listening to this show, what we're saying is...
Get to work.
You idiots, eat the mosquitoes.
It's actually a sort of a tragic thing because mosquitoes that were sort of imported probably in old tires coming across on ships that were carrying West Nile virus have killed thousands of birds, transmitting that virus to American birds that had never encountered it. And there have been a few people who have died from it, too. And the problem is that birds, before they die, if they're sick and a mosquito bites them, then one of the American mosquitoes has the virus. So birds have actually been unwitting victims, but also carriers of the virus. Now this year it was recorded in Wisconsin.
And all because of tires. All because of imported tires.
And mosquitoes.
Yeah. Well, I blame the tires. I don't blame the mosquitoes. They don't know where they are. They get in a tire in the West Nile thinking that, you know, there's going to stay. And next thing you know, they're in a hostile environment surrounded by warblers. I'm not blaming them.
Oh, also, have you gone to North Dakota yet?
No, but I am going there. I'm going there in January because I want to experience
it.
Most likely that I'll be killed by the environment.
one time I got stranded in an airplane when we had a storm and we couldn't come down into the Twin Cities, but they made us land in North Dakota to fuel up. When the pilot said we were starting to run low on fuel, he flew over to North Dakota. And coming down, you could see buffalo. And
I don't really want to go in the winter to a place that has buffalo, because they're not the smartest animal in the world. Any place buffalo roam, bad things typically happen, has been my understanding.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And even from the airplane, as it was coming down, you could see their breathing.
Ooh.
The clouds of their breathing. So it was pretty darn cold.
Yeah.
But Minnesota has a lot that North Dakota has, and we have just as good sewage ponds. And so if you ever come over to Minnesota...
Just as good sewage ponds.
Yep. Yeah, you were talking about...
Well, that's saying something. That's a pretty bold statement.
Our sewage pond has had a fork-tailed flycatcher visiting it, which is a South American bird.
You go hang around the sewage pond, do you, Laura, to check out what's cooking?
Yeah, that's one of the problems with being a birder.
Yeah, it's one of them, all right.
Oh, does Sophie have any bird-related toys or books?
Well, she's very into ducks. Now, ducks are birds, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she loves ducks. She does have numerous ducks, rubber ducks, plush ducks, ducks that when you squeeze them go quack.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty settled on duck as the most. It was the first word she could say, and it's still pretty popular.
Mm-hmm.
She's currently into princesses also, and I don't know if there are any bird connections other than that. I guess it's when Snow White is out there in the wilderness before she finds the seven dwarfs. There are a lot of birds flying around her, as I recall.
Yeah, and Sleeping Beauty dances with the birds. Well, that's before she becomes a princess. Well,
okay,
I guess she's always a princess.
And Sophie likes Snow White, Sleeping Beauty,
mm-hmm.
and Cinderella.
Maleficent's way scary when they're that little.
Which is?
Maleficent, the witch in Sleeping Beauty, when she transforms
into
the dragon.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what, though? Sophie doesn't get afraid of the witch yet. She's not capable of being afraid, as far as I can tell, of anything yet. So.
But, yeah, there are a lot of birds in those that dance with the fairy princesses.
Disney birds.
Yeah. Yeah. And
they kind of just hang around people singing to them.
Yeah. My husband and I almost died laughing when we read your column about I'm a little teapot.
Oh, yeah.
It just was too close to home.
It's true. Because any parent that's got a child knows that you are required in the car to listen to the child's car songs. And I don't know why we continue introducing these moronic songs to generation after generation. You would think they would have died. At some point, the kids would say, that's a stupid song. Let's listen to something else. But no, they love I'm a Little Teapot and Itsy Bitsy Spider and the Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round.
And they all require hand movement.
All of them, yeah. You can't just sing them. You've got to do them. You've got to make that Itsy Bitsy Spider go up that water spout, which requires two hands while you're driving. No. The worst, of course, being Where is Thumbkin? I'm not even going to go into why. When you're doing a song that requires holding up one at a time the digits on your hand, you got a problem in traffic, especially in Miami. Showing Tall Man, there's a good chance you're going to see Trigger Man come out.
You made a reference to Senator Ernest Fritz Holling sounding exactly like Foghorn T. Leghorn.
That's true, and he does. And I guess you're
I've noticed that.
When you get right down to it, a rooster is a kind of bird, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Although we don't think of them that way.
Yeah, and you also were describing Dan Rather's election night coverage. This race is like a turkey wearing a woodpecker's necktie with a squirrel in each pocket.
Yeah.
And I feel like a two-headed chicken trying to ride a unicycle through a car wash.
Yep, that's Dan. He's got those colorful country expressions that express ineffable wisdom. And when I say ineffable, I mean incomprehensible.
And I think you pretty much nailed it with those.
Boy, you really, I got to hand it to you, Laura. You can spot the bird references in a book.
That's
better than anyone I've ever talked to.
That's my job. When you do a daily radio program about birds, you have to get, you know, pretty desperate after a while.
Every day, yeah. So I assume at some point you do, you know, the St. Louis Cardinals and stuff like that, hey?
Oh, yeah. And
of course.
And the Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah.
And how the batters try bunting.
Bunting?
Bunting, yeah.
And they're shouting,
kill deer ump.
Okay, now Now you've gone over the line from bird references to outright puns, and I'm sorry, but we have standards in this world, and you've just sunk below them.
Yeah, and it's our time is up, too, but thanks so much for submitting yourself to this.
It's my pleasure. I always look for, this is always probably, you know, the most, of all the interviews that I do about a book, yours is always the one afterwards I'm most likely to go, huh? I mean that in the best possible way.
Thanks so much.
You bet.
Okay.
All right, take care, Laura.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Dave Barry Hits Below the Beltway is available at bookstores everywhere.